I think at 36, you know, I'm just in a different place. If you ever want me to be the bachelor, I'll do that.
Things really played out wonderfully for me. It's easy to get wrapped up in the environment. It was definitely dramatic.
What drama?
Hi, everybody. What's up?
Hey.
Hey.
You know, I'm just podcasting.
Cool. How's your day?
Pretty good day, I think. Pretty good day, you know, and then I watched The Bachelor.
Ugh, boy. I just don't know.
So, like, at least something important happened in this episode.
We gained
by losing.
I mean, ding dong, the witch is dead. And
with it, the entire show, basically.
Yeah, the entire show was also based on Ari's relationship with a dead person.
Take all my material.
Sorry, save the pylon for later. So we start this episode in Paris. At least the women are reasonably excited about being in Paris, unlike they were excited about being in Florida.
Ari doesn't even realize this is where his tattoo belongs.
Yes, let us reverse and rewind. As we know, Ari has 24601 tattooed on his wrist because
they're basically the same guy.
He saw a backwoods community theater version of Les Miserables and decided that he so identified with Jean Valjean that he needed to tattoo his prison number on his wrist.
Who am I? 24601.
It's not great. It's not a great tattoo. It really isn't.
Jean Valjean, for the record, is a man of sacrifice.
He is a man of sacrifice.
He's a man who had nothing and then built something and then gave it away for a person that he cared about.
For love. Family.
Yes.
Loyalty. Friendship. Kindness.
I'm sure all these words mean something to Ari, but I don't trust that he genuinely understands who Jean Valjean is.
I don't think he can spell it.
Oh, that's definitely not
true. That's definitely not true. So
I don't think he can spell 2 or 4 or 6. Oh, maybe. I would hope. It's only 2 letters. One of them's easy.
He might put an H in it.
It does. It has an H.
I know, but is like O like O-O-H? Or is it O-H? Or is it, you know, is there an umlaut? I don't know.
it's harder than I thought it was just O-H.
Or is it just O?
No, that would be.
It makes its
crazy.
Own sound.
It's ooh.
Ooh. What are you saying?
I'm saying ooh. I think O is O-H.
Oh.
The letter O is spelled O-H.
We'll ask the interns to do some research.
Fact checkers.
So there's 3 sets of dates this week. We have 2 one-on-one dates. We have 1 group date and the dreaded 2-on-1 date. Now, granted.
It sounds like 4 dates to me.
I can't count. So, granted, here's what I want to say about the dates. I just feel like. I get that Crystal's a nightmare. I get that it's like, okay, this is not great. But I didn't really feel the sense of urgency on a 2-on-1 date for this round like I have in the past.
Was it the contestants or was it Ari?
Both.
I don't think Ari has feelings.
No.
So that's, I don't think he experiences them like the rest of us do.
Nor does he express them like the rest of us.
And then the 2 women were just one of them who's a complete sociopath.
And then there's Crystal.
No, Crystal is a sociopath. Kendall.
Or so you think.
Wow. I guess we'll have to cover it when we get there.
Yeah.
Let's start with the end of the road.
Okay, so.
Let's do the important one first.
Yeah.
We lost Crystal the entire show up to this.
Wow. Again, I just really still feel like Crystal was never meant for this world for much of anything other than a sob story.
Crystal's an impossible person.
Say more about that, Adam.
She is unbearable.
She's the worst.
Every time you talk to her, she has to act like you've committed some huge crisis against her.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not, you know, sustainable or bearable, really.
You know what? I bet she's really just hungry. You know, I think she's really used to meal planning, and she's definitely used to, you know, a very protein-heavy diet, and I think being off of that schedule has really hindered her mental development.
it's going to be weird. I mean, we're lucky the girls only have one or maybe maximum of 2 weeks left together, because I don't know what they're going to do now that they're in the same place without the common enemy.
Well, reasonably, this coming week is truly the last week that they're all going to be together. I mean, this is the week where they decide who goes to hometowns, and once you figure out who goes to hometowns, you don't see anybody, like, ever until, like, the women tell all and when everybody has new boobs and a blowout.
Crystal won't have new boobs. She'll still have the same muscle boobs she had in this thing.
I don't know, friend. You know, the Instagram really helps your finances. And a boob job's not as expensive as it used to be.
I wasn't concerned about the cost.
Okay.
I was worried with her seeing the need for improvement or desiring a change in herself to make her better. You have to see that first. You have to wake up and look at yourself and go, there is something that could be corrected.
That could be corrected. I don't think she would have some level of insecurity about herself.
She thinks she is something. Like, even after he gave the rose to Kendall, Crystal was sitting there like, yep, I told you you were terrible. Like, she just doesn't understand what's happening in the universe, like, to other people.
No. I think, you know, if anything, she was probably really perfect for the show. She's definitely perfect for the show.
She is. She'll be on Paradise. She'll be on
She will be on Paradise.
She'll be on all of it because she's a psychopath.
I'm wondering who would be a good match for her on Paradise.
Nobody.
I mean, obviously nobody. But, like, who would be a good, like, sexual chemistry match for her? I'm not sure yet. I'll have to find it.
Dumb Canadian Daniel, maybe?
Oh, no. I think he's too dumb.
I think you need somebody who's dumb.
Yeah. You need somebody who's not able to think on their feet. We'll find it. Next up, we lost Chelsea, the single mom who had the sob story a couple weeks ago about, you know, being left with her child. You know, again, not super surprising.
She wasn't really part of the show.
She wasn't?
Nothing happened.
She was a little sinister and nasty in the beginning, but then, you know, once you get to this point, you know, the odds of her sticking around and being a single mom are slim to none. It doesn't usually happen.
Yeah, especially when you suck.
Yeah, especially when you suck.
We're running into a real problem this year where there's, you know, there's pretty obviously like four, maybe five people. She wasn't one of them.
And I mean, all
He's
the
not
four.
Deviating. There are no surprises.
All the 4 to 5 people that are still wonderful are still in the show, you know? I mean, well, Caroline.
I told you guys Jacqueline was something. Week one, I was like, this girl. And you know what? You know who's strong as hell right now? Jacqueline. You know what? Hair.
We'll get to that.
Chelsea, you never felt like it was a threat. We get to the rose ceremony, we're like, oh man, we're going to lose two people. So it's
definitely
Chelsea and then Jenna.
And then coked out Jenna.
And you know what? It was.
It was coked out Jenna. You know, Jenna was unable to bring her drugs with her overseas, and I think that really hindered her performance this week.
It's... when all you have is excitement, it gets old pretty quick.
Is that what it's called? Excitement? Are you sure it's not called...
chemically induced, chemically aided excitement.
Right.
We'll have to get the researchers to check. I don't have 100% proof she's on cocaine during the filming.
Okay, girl.
She has all the symptoms. And on top of that, she's kind of boring. She's the only person who's just boring on cocaine, I think.
I doubt that. I bet there's a lot of boring people that do cocaine.
I don't know. I don't really have a lot of experience. So...
I know, you're so sheltered. So...
I'm soft. I'm weak.
Soft. You're weak. You're soft. Squishy.
You married this. Remember.
Unfortunately.
I know.
So, we get to our first one-on-one date. And once the ladies are in Paris, it's all very cute. Baby Becca looks so adorable in her all-red outfit. I just love her immensely.
I think she has a lot of extra clothes. Because she didn't pack any bras. So, I think she just has extra clothes.
I just don't think she brought bras at all.
Yes, she doesn't have one.
I think she has a black bustier and a white bustier that she pairs with pants and skirts, which I'm really into, and that is the only bra she brought. Which is fine.
Let's go to Lauren B's date.
So Lauren B gets the date. As we know, Lauren B had the kind of... she was the one that had the kind of okay date that last week where she was asking Ari how he liked his eggs. Was that last week? Where am I?
I don't know. Was it like a group date side conversation?
Yes. It was that.
I surprisingly had Lauren B's Good Face in my power rankings last week.
I think you did.
Which I retroactively wish to redact from the record.
Okay, so Lauren B. Oh my God.
Lauren B has what I remember as the single worst one-on-one date I've ever seen. And she somehow got a rose at the end of it.
So the date, you know, the dates have been, and this is probably a testament to how boring Ari is.
It is definitely.
A lot of the dates this season have been, let's just walk around and talk. Let's go to this place and just kind of hang out. Let's go over here on this boat and sit.
That might be okay if you're not on a TV dating show. It might be.
I think on a day-to-day thing, I would love to walk around Paris and talk, I guess.
It might be. The problem is that when the date is walking around and talking, half of that is talking, and that's something Lauren B. doesn't do.
That's also something that Ari doesn't do. So it makes for a very silent date.
Yeah.
Lauren B.'s vocabulary during this date included and was not limited to, well, and was limited to, wow.
Yes, was limited to, I think, is the key.
Is a better answer. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. So, how are you? Okay. I'm done.
Yeah, I wrote down some of the more stimulating conversations.
What were the specific... what was...
You doing all right over there?
I had a stroke.
Listen, who's on the cocaine?
What? It's me! What were the specific quotes that you had?
Specific quote from Ari. I think we all remember a date where this was said. We're turning left here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And who can forget this winter? Look how pretty these cheese wheels are. You know, real romantic stuff.
Not romantic for someone who has a lactose intolerance.
Well,
cheese is not romantic for those people.
It is not. I also wrote down some of Lauren's most romantic comebacks, most romantic wordplay kind of. Wordplay. Basically foreplay.
Including
so. And
I like the
I'll never forget when I looked into Lauren B's unblinking, lifeless eyes and she said to me,
Wow.
So I have a
That's
theory.
A panty dropper right there.
Listen, I had to change my underpants in the middle of this recording.
Woo!
Sorry if we mess up the cut.
Hot stuff coming through.
So, I have a theory about this date that I was half gave away to Taylor while I was earlier, you know, talking to her about.
I'll act like I've never heard it before.
My theory is very simple. It's that Lauren B. died one or two episodes ago and Kendall taxidermied her back to life, theoretically, like figuratively.
She's being Weekend at Bernie's.
And this whole date is just Weekend at Lauren B's.
Weekend at Lauren B's.
It's just Ari pushing her around in a wheelchair with sunglasses and a hat on.
Right.
And
trying to pawn her off as a live person.
He's just pushing her around like, we're turning left here.
She's not dead.
Yeah. We're going to dinner. You get to look at your food. Oh,
and she's, my God. Hijinks ensue.
She's just jiggling back and forth with excitement.
Oh, my God. Hijinks ensue. You can really still fit into that romper.
Lauren B. is the least interesting person on television.
What?
And Ari is on television, too.
What a nightmare. Remember that episode when Ari didn't speak 40 minutes into the episode? This is worse than that.
This is like a date where you paint the grass, and then watch the paint dry while the grass grows at the same time.
But what color is the paint?
I think probably white to maybe get it to stick out, stand out against the grass.
Oh.
Do
people do that?
I don't imagine so. It's intended to be boring. The point of what I said was hyperbole.
Oh, okay. I was just somewhere else thinking that was some sort of Springfield, Illinois thing that people did, and I just was like, what?
I still grew up in the 90s. Like, there was technology and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
No, what I said was
you
like
had an Acer computer just like everybody else did.
I did have an Acer.
Did you ever play that Are You Afraid of the Dark game on your Acer computer?
I don't think so.
It was the tits. Guys, let me tell you something. The Acer computer had some bangers when we were growing up, as everybody was learning about PC games and the internet. If you can ever find that game, I don't know what it's called. It's like the mystery at Orpheum's Theater. That's what it's called. Yes! It's like the mystery at Orpheum's Theater or something like that. Somebody find that and send me the link because it was flames and it was the scariest thing I've ever seen.
I want that to be true. But I bet if you replayed it now, you would be like, what's happening?
Questionable.
I can't
see
this thing.
It was very scary. Something was following me in one of the scenes. It was like one of those point and click. Like, it wasn't like a point and click adventure, but it was like a point and click where you had to like move through the scene and like it was all stuff was, it was crazy.
8-bit graphics. Oh,
it was not 8-bit. It was photoreal.
I bet it was. I bet it was better than a date with Lauren B.
It was.
I can't believe this is happening. So they go on this date and nobody talks.
No one.
They're like, they're just walking around. They're holding hands and just observing together.
And when she does talk, she's mumbling, which is the worst.
The interesting thing about being on a date with a person who doesn't talk to you is that it's essentially like not being on a date with a person who doesn't talk to you.
Right.
It's like just sitting there without holding somebody's hand.
Now, mind you, you guys, this whole thing is happening without a cell phone. So you know how sometimes you're on a bad date and like somebody's not talking, you can kind of look at your phone and say, who's texting me? Or like, oh, what's happening over here? Or like, oh my God, look at this hilarious video on Instagram. Just to give you something else to talk about. You know, you couldn't even escape into your cellular device. That's horrible.
Can't even fall back on those. About those Warriors.
How about
tonight,
those
huh?
Warriors? It's like, hey, what's the score of the big game? It's like, did you hear Kylie Jenner's pregnant? Not anymore. But at the time of them shooting this, she was.
I mean, like, this is weird for you and me because we're two people who are in a relationship, but also we're two people who are conversational.
Correct.
You know, like,
yes.
Talk on a podcast for a living type conversation.
We also do that.
Right. And they are two people who, I guess, go on TV and don't talk. So kind of exactly the opposite of us for a living.
Well, you know, this is, they're not getting paid for it yet.
Yeah, not like us.
No.
So anyway, they walk around, nobody's talking, and then they sit down to dinner, and it gets real.
Okay, so things
Sorry, that was exaggerated. That was a joke. It didn't get real. Like, they did talk in very dead tones.
Right.
And they had a very meaningless conversation, it would seem like to me.
So it started with Lauren B. going into this long diatribe about how, you know, she was in a bad relationship once.
Long diatribe is a relative term here. It
was, sure.
It was maybe like a paragraph.
It was four sentences at best. And a paragraph, as we know from going to Catholic school, is five sentences.
It was like
okay?
35 words.
It was 35 words, if that. It was shorter than the synopsis of the Titanic. Okay? So
a boat crashed.
Right, exactly. A boat crash.
Less than that.
A boat crash. Spoiler alert, Jack dies. So Laura B. goes into this long diatribe about how she had been engaged before and, you know, she, you know, basically the guy that she was with proposed to her and then he just all of a sudden decided to stop being nice to her. And as a result, she doesn't trust people, so she really kind of clams up. I mean, Laura B., all that really means is that men are trash, but don't take that out on everybody else. Like, use your words.
I mean, at least she knows that she's clamming up.
Right. She knows she's clammed.
That's the first step.
The first step to knowing that you're dead is knowing that you're dead.
I mean, I feel like I say this every season. The number one sin you can possibly commit in a dating / relationship game show.
Relationship game show
is being boring.
Yes, and she was the most boring of anything. And then Ari decided to take it upon himself to talk about how he had trust issues. And he was in a relationship with a woman who had two kids. I'll get to that in a second. And then he...
Yeah. Where did this come from?
Right, and then he got her pregnant, and he was on the road, like, being a race car driver.
Allegedly.
And not, like, paying attention to this woman who, mind you, already had two kids and was getting ready to have a third with Ari Lyndine
His own child.
She calls him and says, I had a miscarriage and I'm moving out. What? So Ari goes into this long story about, and I don't even know how this even connected to Lauren B's, like, trust issue things. He was like, well, I was dating this woman. She had two kids, yada, yada, yada. Turns out she was pregnant, yada, yada, yada.
Yada, sex.
She moved out. Like, what? How is that? How does any of that go together? And I also, meanwhile, I don't know if you guys follow any of the Bachelor producers on the social medias. You should. Adam doesn't use Twitter anymore, and he gets very upset with me that I use Twitter. But, I mean, Black Twitter is alive and well. It's super fun. And then also on top of that, I follow the Bachelor producers on the Twitter. And Robert Fleiss was like, oh my God, Ari just bared his entire soul on this episode. Thank you for being so brave, Ari.
He wasn't brave. He just had to do 90-something plus percent of the talking because she was just sitting there dead.
Ari had to do the bare minimum.
She died. Like, this is serious. She's not alive, even. She's just sitting there, and, like, her eyes are open, and, like, the wind is blowing her hair, but nothing is happening inside or outside.
She's a vegetable.
This happens every year on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. I have a hard time believing it. People are like, listen, I have trust issues. I can't open up to people.
I am so f***ing sick of people.
Is that a real problem?
That. I don't know. Like, I mean, get over it. Or at least just be like, hey, people suck, right? And then most of the time, the people that you're trying to date will agree with you.
I mean, like, I get it. I'm an outlier in terms of, like, trusting people.
Ugh,
like,
unfortunately. You'd have somebody rob us if
my
you had the chance.
Regular life is like, I'll have a large iced coffee, please. And somebody goes, okay, here you go. And I go, okay, and here's everything I've ever had, ever.
Exactly.
I trust you with my whole life now.
Here's my social security number.
Yes.
That almost happened once.
Yes. I trust people.
You did. You sent me your social security number, like, over text message. No, over GChat. Like, it wasn't even a thing.
I did.
What if somebody hacked my whole computer? They would have your social security number. You wouldn't even care.
No, I trust them, too. I trust you, and I trust them, too.
They're fine.
I get that I'm an outlier. But is this a real problem people have? I don't buy it. I think it's a way of people who are on TV on a dating show who aren't really into each other just expressing to each other they don't actually want to end up together, but they don't mind being on the same dating show now.
I think it's a dating show thing, one, particularly The Bachelor. And I also do think people do use that phrase in real life because they don't want to hurt other people's feelings, and they just say, I have trust issues, where it's like, no, you just actually don't like this person, or you actually are just like, you know, I think that you might be terrible and I don't trust my own feelings to tell you that. So I'm just going to be weird and, you know, opaque.
It's the polite way of saying you're not trustworthy.
Yes.
There is not trust here, but don't worry. It's not because you don't inspire it. It's because I don't accept it.
Correct.
It's rude, man. I don't believe that.
I know, but honey, you know, this is us being two Midwestern people who speak our truth and, you know that words mean things. And, you know, people just don't live their lives like that. Most of these people on the show are from California. What do you expect? They drive so passive aggressively. I never know when somebody's going to change lanes because they don't even use a turn signal. They're like, well, I'm in this lane. I guess I'm going to go over here. No, I'm going to go back. See, that's how these people live their lives. They're changing lanes.
Somebody should resuscitate Lauren B. I'm very, she's about to have a meltdown and just get left off the show.
That was crazy, wasn't it?
I think she's the weakest person left. But,
so Lauren B. gets the rose. She's still dead. I don't know. We get to the group date. And,
it's the Moulin Rouge.
This is the Moulin Rouge group date. And now I get to speak French.
Taylor speaks French. Taylor, was born in America, has lived in America her whole life, traveled to France for work a handful of times.
Twice, to be exact.
And now speaks French.
Mon Dieu.
Right. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I think.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No, Monday is like lunaire.
It just sounds like you have something in your mouth.
I do.
Maybe this is how Lauren B. went.
Cigarettes.
Something. I guess that's how you're French, yeah.
That's right. Cigarettes and butter.
Here's how you speak French. Smoke cigarettes, don't bathe.
You say
just whatever comes out.
And you say no to everything. Everything is no. No. That's me saying no and smoking a cigarette. Taking a long drag.
So all the girls show up at the Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge.
Where some woman and some guy come out and teach them a dance.
Some woman. Some French woman in a white suit. What a brave choice.
Yeah, and some big French gay.
Some French gay.
They
love
out,
him.
They teach these girls how to dance, whatever. And
well,
like,
they're not just dancing. They are doing traditional burlesque.
Right, so
of the Moulin Rouge. You've seen the feature film. Obviously, Nicole Kidman did it better. That's Straw
Witch. I don't think
Witch.
I saw it.
You never see Moulin Rouge?
No.
It's a musical. You'd love it.
I do love musicals in general.
It's a modern musical.
This one in particular, I don't know.
I think you'd really like it. It's a romance. It's
see,
a musical.
That's what I don't want
to see. It's softly
see.
Comedic. It's definitely bright and colorful. It's very long. It's Baz Luhrmann. So it's, you know.
Did you just slip in, it's very long, like that was a good point?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to see it. Anyway, they dance around. Here's what we learn. CN, great at dancing.
Well, CN is actually a dancer. So among everything
She's actually everything.
Oh, my God. So CN went to Yale. She's a dancer. She's gorgeous. She's sane. Oh, by the way, she speaks French, too. I mean, what are we even talking about?
If CN went on
Where is Peter? Show me the money. Let's get this thing over with, okay?
If CN went on a date with Lauren B., Lauren B. would just be sitting there and CN would be like, it's cool, I studied open heart surgery, so I'll just bring you back to life right now.
Totally.
Like, whatever, no totally. Big deal.
And I can also, and I also studied plastic surgery and I can stitch you up and you wouldn't even see a thing.
They'd be like,
you'd have no scar.
On this date, we're going to go to the moon. And CN would be like, I've been there before.
Been there, done that, bought that t-shirt,
third or fourth
sister.
Time.
Whatever.
I can't even count how many times I've been
right.
here.
Right.
So she's great at it. She's... Everybody else, basically, equally good. Like, they're trying hard, and they're, like, not doing bad at all.
No.
And then Tia is miserable at dancing.
Which I find to be surprising. I wonder
so
if she can
I.
line dance.
I don't know.
Not the same, but, you know, similar sort of...
You can't just
of...
judge everyone from the country. Maybe you can. I don't know.
She's got the tattoo to prove it.
I love Tia.
You really do.
She's so much hotter than I thought.
I've got something else to say about Tia. I think she has no neck.
Would you stop it?
She does it. It's either very short or her shoulders are very high. Pick one.
I think she's hot. I think she's really hot.
I'm not saying she's not hot. I'm just saying she doesn't have a neck. It's different.
How do you see, though? Because the hair is
so
distracting.
How do I see that she doesn't have a neck? Like, from the back, when you see her and she, like, you know how you part your hair in the back and then you can, like, see it so that your hair hangs over your shoulders? Like, you know, some people's have an equal, a reasonable distribution between the bottom of their chin and their neck. Hers is short!
I think you're just jealous of my recent feelings toward Tia.
Yes.
Only discovered a week ago.
I'm jealous of that unfortunate tattoo that she has on the back of her arm. Very jealous. Smokingly, wildly jealous. So jealous that I will admit that I was the one that killed Lauren B.
Poor Lauren B, man.
Oh, man. So we get to the evening portion of the date. Becca isn't wearing a bra. She's definitely wearing organic deodorant. Like, Paris is the place that
she makes
where
her
she
own deodorant.
Truly, truly feels to be herself. You know, the one of the things that I will say, I really liked this group. I will say that even though, you know, Tia wasn't great on the date, the energy among these girls was very pure.
She tried.
And kind. No, not just Tia, but like among everybody. Like, this was a really nice sort of well-rounded, cohesive community group date. Like, this was one of the dates where I watch the show and I go, these girls are friends, you know?
So just a quick recap. Here's who is on the date. Everyone except Dead Lauren B. And Crystal.
And Jacqueline.
And Kendall. But the point.
Kendall, but that's not the point.
The point is the same. You remove the common enemy, you remove the currently deceased, and you are left with a group of people who genuinely get along because they're probably all agreeable people.
I mean, and then there's CN. So I get it. So we get to the evening portion of the date. You know, Ari is smitten with CN, but of course, you know, it's all about baby Becca. And she sort of expresses her feelings for him in a way that she has not done before. And that causes him to pick her for the evening portion of the date where she dresses up and they get to go on stage. And Ari dresses up like Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Yeah.
Ari was objectively very bad at being on stage at this Moulin Rouge.
Soups, uncomfortable.
I think he picked Baby Becca because he knew that CN would make him look even worse, and he had to pick somebody else who would be around his skill level, which is
equidistant.
Anybody but CN.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Lauren B. Well, she wasn't on the date.
Lauren B wasn't an option, but
she's already dead.
Yeah, Lauren B being pushed around in a wheelchair probably still better at being on stage than Ari.
Yeah.
Who was lip-syncing incorrectly and, I believe, waving his arms around out of tune.
Very robotic.
Out of time.
Very,
He didn't sound good either, so out of tune.
Yeah, I like that. Very Britney Spears circa 2007. It was a rough time for her.
He was like if like one of those animatronic things at Chuck E. Cheese was playing like a half a beat behind the rest of the band.
You mean like all of them are?
Yes.
Okay. So just going to Chuck E. Cheese in a general sense?
Yes, but wearing a tuxedo.
Also, at Chuck E. Cheese, that's what they wear.
Yeah, in France, so it's like Charles Cheese.
Got it. Mon Dieu.
Chuck E. Cheese.
No. No.
And everyone's got mustaches.
Chuck E. Cheese. And they're smoking.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's it. This was, so like, in terms of how much fun was had in the date, I think very high. In terms of how watchable it was, nothing really important happened.
Low.
These girls were all hanging out, they're under one blanket. Like, this is one team.
I know, I really enjoyed that. I always like the shots of the people spending time together. It's really cute.
That's a moment. The girls were all, like, waiting on Lauren B's date to get down so they could go, and they're all sitting there under one blanket. It's very cute.
Soup's cute. So we get to the two-on-one date with Kendall and Crystal, and Crystal has been sort of, you know, spiraling all episode about how I'm so perfect. Like, Ari is going to be, like, so into me. And, like, this is, like, Kendall's date to lose. Like, I don't even know why she's here. Ugh, stop.
Crystal thinks, here's what's weird. Everyone else treats Ari like they're dating him in a dating game show. And, like, there's a chance they could win. There's a chance they could lose. Crystal is the only person who treats him like they're already together. Like, they go through these things, and she's like, it's just our first fight in our relationship. Like, you know, we're going to get through these.
No,
we're going to have highs and lows. And everyone else is like, oh, if I have a low, I'm done. Like, right. If we have a low, it's over.
Like, literally, that is the point of the show. If you have a low, it is over. If things do not go well between the two of you, he's not coming back.
She doesn't get it.
Ugh.
She didn't understand that.
I don't really.
So they went through a low and she lost and she's out.
Right. And now she was so surprised. Like, how did this happen? So they go to the French countryside.
To a chateau.
And then they walk through a maze. I bet
why?
You. Well, you know why.
Why do they go through a maze?
Honey, because Maze Runner is coming out. You were the one that told me about it. Okay.
I need to set the record straight.
How? How are you going to set the record straight
The first Maze Runner was moderately better than I thought it would be. And that's the only Maze Runner I've seen.
You don't have to lie to these people. You don't have to do this.
I don't like the Maze Runner.
You and Dylan O'Brien, you've told me before, basically
I don't know who Dylan
cut
O'Brien
from the same
is.
Cloth. Okay. You don't know who Dylan O'Brien is.
Is he the guy who's running the maze?
He's running the maze. He is the Maze Runner.
So they run through the maze, and I guess Kendall can't figure it out or something.
I don't really know. I mean, listen, this is basically, anytime that anybody has a two-on-one date, it is basically a trial run for a sister-wife program. And I just can't get behind it. And like I maybe said at the beginning of the episode, but I'll say it again. I just didn't really feel the urgency in this one. There wasn't enough animosity between the two of them where I really felt like this is going to be a knockdown drag out. Or I also didn't feel like there was any possibility that Ari was going to pick Crystal. Like, come on.
No, so
especially after last week when he picked her last and he sounded like, ugh.
He's picked her last 2 weeks in a row.
I know, because it's a producer plant. Because at this point,
obviously,
that's the only reason she's still on the show.
So they go on this thing, and he's like, listen, Crystal, we got to talk. Like, you're on thin ice over here. You
and
know?
She's like, what do you mean? What's, like, thin
and
ice?
Says,
do you mean, like, thin ice, like, you know, like, thin ice, like, champagne? Like, and I love champagne, and I love you.
Yeah.
What?
So he's like, listen, you know, this is your last chance. Like, you need to be really good or else you're going to lose. And she's like, oh my God, you're my boyfriend. I hope we make it through this fight and, like, go on to have this beautiful rest of our life together. And this is what I wrote down here is the number one exact epitome of how Crystal, the problem with Crystal.
Mm.
She says that she's not quite sure if Ari understands the color, texture, and depth of their relationship.
Okay.
Just let it sink in. He's half of the relationship.
Sure.
Mind you.
Sure.
He doesn't really understand the color, texture, and depth of it.
And mind you, in the grand scheme of things, Ari and Crystal have probably interacted maybe all of 15 minutes during the 6 weeks of this show.
You know what? I had this thought. Crystal made me have this thought. You and I have spent more time talking to each other on the air for our show.
Yes.
Than these people spend before getting engaged to each other.
I know.
Everyone.
Everyone.
That's crazy.
All of us. Yes, completely.
There are people who have spent more time listening to you and me on the radio like this than these people have spent talking to each other.
Again.
We're basically recruiting a polygamous relationship where everyone knows more about us than the bachelor and the winner of this show know about each other at the time they get engaged.
I agree with you. That is part of the problem of this entire program.
Yeah, but if there were no problems, we wouldn't have a show.
I know. Well, and
then, double-edged sword.
So then the other thing that happened on the two-on-one date is that Kendall tried to go into this very weird, empathizing with her killer. She went like very Mindhunter into this. Like she, you know, bringing back Mindhunter, which if you guys haven't seen it, you got to do it.
See it.
She was pretty much doing that, sort of getting into the mind of a serial killer and saying, you know, I get it. You know, I get why you would want to kill all these young girls. You know, all these women out here, they don't care about you and your mother hated you. And, you know, that happened to me too, man. And I really empathize with you. That's what she was doing.
Yeah.
That was very strange for me to watch.
It's real weird because the two-on-one dates almost always involve the one person who is at the center of all the controversy and then one other person who's sort of like a counter to them.
But has also sort of made it very clear that they are not interested in engaging with the person.
Yeah, so it's usually like there is a favorite, and the favorite is the person who's not causing the controversy. Correct. In this case, it's Kendall.
Correct.
She doesn't realize this at all.
Favorite is a reach.
Whatever. She tries to have this empathy epiphany. All she has to do on this date is basically show up, be alive, Lauren B., and not be Crystal. Like, she doesn't have to say anything. She doesn't have to do anything. She has to show up and sit there and let Crystal lose it for herself.
Right.
And she really tries too hard to have this little empathy
thing. It was so bizarre. And maybe, you know, maybe after years of watching this show, you know, I forgot how normal people are supposed to interact with each other. But I still felt like that was very uncomfortable for me to watch her do that.
Don't try to make friends. Yeah. Just sit there and be like, listen, I hope I win, but it's not I don't want it to lose for you. I just kind of want
to
win.
I want to win. Like, and the point of this is to win, not to find a husband. So
if you're Kendall, you already won because you got to taxidermy a human person on that
right.
flight to Paris.
Talk about most dangerous game.
On the flight to Paris, she stuffed up Lauren
B. She sure did.
Sewed her up to look like she was still alive.
Still upright.
Put her hand right into her back and just jiggled her around a little bit and she looked good as new.
And CN probably was the one that did all the makeup because she does that too.
She's probably the best at all of it.
She is.
She probably flew the plane with the other hand.
Oh, too. She definitely flew the plane.
She's the best. Anyway, that's it for the 2-on-1. It was kind of contentious. Crystal was very confident, which does not always lead to a win.
Right. And I mean, Kendall was almost during the date, like, it's almost like she had never seen the show and she was very worried about, like, you know, I just want to make sure that Crystal's not over here, like, saying anything about me. And, like, I just don't want this to taint our relationship. I was like,
oh, she's definitely doing that. That's
girl,
the point.
Like, what? I don't know. Maybe Kendall is another person who's just too nice.
I think Kendall is saying the right things. She really did say the right things. She said the right things to Crystal. She just didn't say them really the right way. And she said the right things to Ari, too. She's like, being in love with somebody isn't about the right time. It's about the right person, which is absolutely correct.
Okay.
However, she says it in a really, like, weird, tone-deaf kind of way.
Yes. And it's a weird, like, inflection.
It's kind almost of like she spends all of her time with dead animals and not human beings.
Bingo.
Let's go to Jacqueline's one-on-one.
Okay.
I've been waiting for this the entire season.
So this episode is the Pretty Woman date, which happens every season where somebody gets to go on a shopping trip with the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. Next season, it was when him and Corinne went shopping for her her hometown date. It was when Rachel bought Brian that watch. You know. That kind of stuff.
This is not a real life date.
No.
Is it? People don't do this in real life.
Yeah, people do that all the time.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's a thing.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people buying clothes. It's like, let's put somebody in a turtleneck and a blazer and, you know, go out to a restaurant.
turtleneck and a blazer? That sounds warm.
It is, but it's very hot right now. I'll send you some literature.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so they go on this thing. Jacqueline is mostly fantastic.
Okay.
On the actual date.
Yes. She's mostly fantastic. Yes, she's very fantastic.
She's a great time.
Yes, they go out and they drive this sort of very cute red convertible that breaks down, and then they end up going into town to go shopping. She is a delight. She's funny. She's smart. She's charming. She's got a great head of hair. She's got big old eyeballs. It's all happening. She looks very French. Like, she looks like this is a French thing that she would be doing.
She looks like how I like them.
Yeah, Wolfie.
Oh, yeah. Sexy Wolfie. That's Wolf right. In Wolf's clothes. That's what I'm looking for.
Say Wolf again.
Wolf. So they go on this thing. She's doing really great. And then they get to dinner. And for some reason...
she loses it.
I don't know. She's like... they're just sitting there talking. And Ari's like, listen, I liked you because you're intelligent. And she's like, oh, really? Me? Because I'm thinking about getting a PhD. And he's like, well... you know, I don't want to hold you back. And then she's like, wait a minute. Are you breaking up with me?
Yeah. That was a very weird sort of edit where she started to have a meltdown and, you know, was like, oh my God. And like, you know, I this is such a weird conversation to have where it's like 6 years out and where am I going to be? And I have to get this PhD and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I guess if we're going to be together or we're not, I was like, girl, chill.
So, who was she freaking out or was he freaking out? I don't understand. I didn't really get it.
She was definitely freaking out, but he also brought up the fact that, like, he was really worried about getting involved with her or talking to her because she was really smart and he felt like he wasn't interesting enough to be with a smart girl, which let us make sure that we, the docket show, that that was on the record for when CN gets kicked off.
CN went
week.
To Yale. Tia has a doctorate. I mean, these are girls he's picked for one-on-one dates already.
That is true.
So he can't be like, I'm intimidated by smart women. He picked a girl who went to Yale and another girl.
That is true. I think we should continue to remember these conversations when we get to the final and, you know, he picks somebody that, oh, I don't know, is dead.
Wow, she really is dead. I just don't buy, like, this is another thing I don't think is real. I don't think anybody's ever like, you are too intelligent for me, and because of that, I am not attracted to you.
Well,
is that a thing?
That is also a thing, and I don't think that people are saying it specifically to one another. I think they use the phrase that Ari uses, where it's, you know, you're so intimidating, or it is the conversation where you say to somebody, you know, this is a phrase that a lot of my female friends have heard from guys, the quote-unquote, I don't think you need me.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That is a thing.
Those guys are bad.
Men are trash, Adam.
Oh, hey.
Not all men.
Some guys are.
You know, 3/4. But, you know, that is a thing that a lot of women hear about in the vein of intelligence and sort of completeness of their own lives. Like, you know, having their own, and it's not just having a PhD, it's having your own job. It's, you know, you bought your own car. It's, you know, I bought my own house and, you know, I take care of myself and my own life. And, you know, then you get with a guy who's a goon and says stuff like, you know, I'm not interesting enough to be with a smart girl, or you really intimidate me, or you don't need me, which is crap.
It's dumb.
It is dumb. Dating is hard. So Jacqueline continues to have this really weird meltdown. She's getting a PhD and doesn't want to make a sacrifice. I get it. Ari likes that she's intelligent, and he gives her the rose, and I just don't know why she had the meltdown.
What is the obstacle? Really, really I don't understand what the thing is.
It was a weird edit. I don't know what that was about. It was genuine. And then she started crying, like maybe she was tired and jet lagged. I don't know, but I mean, it seemed like everything was going very well.
Yeah, it was a confusingly good date.
Yes, it was very confusing.
Yeah, it was good, but it was like, why?
I'd love to know more about that dress because it did really look good on her. So getting to the cocktail portion of the date, you know, just pretty much the rose ceremony
happened like instantly. Nothing. They just like showed up and they're like, okay, here you go, because they're. There was only like 5 minutes left.
Right, and they spent so much time on the 2-on-1 date, which was super unnecessary.
And it was kind of obvious.
And they had a bunch of dates during this episode to fit into 2 hours, which is exactly what I like, because this show should only be 1 hour to begin with.
You don't need drama, because everyone knew that Jenna and Chelsea were the two who were going to go.
That's true. And
get into it. Drama.
You know, I didn't know that Tia was going to have on a jumpsuit, which I really appreciated, but I also didn't know I was going to figure out that her neck was short, so everybody wins.
Let's just do power rankings.
Yes. Who is your number four?
I do not have a number four.
Ah, Lauren B's good face.
Used to be, Lauren B was coming in at number four. Mm-hmm. Her good face was coming in at number four until all of her face went dead.
Right.
Yeah, I really only like three of these women. There are seven of them left. Both of the Beccas, I think, are suitable companions for him, but not for me. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there's a couple of blonde women that I just can't get on board with.
Cool. My number four is Jacqueline. I think she had a great date, even with the meltdown. He is very intrigued by her intelligence and also very into what it is that she's providing him. But she's a number four because, duh.
She's the biggest gainer of this week, but for I think sure. It's a little bit too late to start gaining.
That is true.
For him.
That is true.
She's been number two for me for a long time.
He's got stronger relationships with other people.
Okay, who's your number three?
My number three is Tia.
My number three is also Tia.
Yes.
Because she is beautiful.
Tia. although she couldn't dance, Tia had a...
Doesn't bother me.
She had a pretty good week just in general. I think the two of them are continuing to get closer. He is charmed by her sort of southern befuddledness.
He asked her out first for the little talking session at the group date there.
He did.
He was like, hey, I want to talk to people. So, Tia, you first.
Yes.
That's something.
Yeah, that's something, I think. Who's your number two?
Jacqueline.
She's been your number two for a
while. I will continue to like Wolf Jacqueline. Yeah. I have had the same... She and Sienna have been my one and two for, I think, every episode.
I know. My number two is Lauren B. I think...
Wait a minute.
Hear me out. She might be dead, but...
She is definitely dead.
She's definitely dead. Here's the thing. Lauren B...
You have to be alive to win the show, so...
Has to be alive to win the show. But also, he likes... Even though she's billing it as sort of, you know, oh, I'm, you know, it takes me a while to open up to people, he is really into her aloofness, or what it seems to appear to be as
deadness,
as her deadness, that she doesn't care about him, that she doesn't care about this process, whatever. Now, her breaking down to the producers at the end of this episode, to me, was a little bit telling about what the future of this show is going to be like. Like, the fact that she has had no emotion about this thing at all, and then all of a sudden just kind of explodes at one point about, like, how Ari's the one and blah, 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 just seemed very weird and out of place, and they wouldn't have put that edit there if something else wasn't going to happen.
So how does all of this... What is he attracted to?
He's
the meltdowns?
No, he's attracted to the fact that she's doesn't appear attracted to him.
Weird.
I know. And she's blonde, so he loves that. You know that.
I think the two blondes are the weakest two left.
Oh, I'm not downing that at all.
I think he is into both Beccas, Cien.
Yep.
And originally I thought Caroline was the magic fourth person there. Like, those three have been in it. Three for a long time.
I know.
I think the mystery fourth is going to come down to Jacqueline and Tia.
You still think Sian's going to be in the final four?
I think so.
Who's your number one, Adam?
Sian.
My number one is old Becca.
Yes, I think that is accurate.
Yes.
I think that is his number one.
We can dovetail right into bold predictions now that we've seen sort of what's going to happen the rest of the season, and now that we've caught a glimpse of what the hometown dates are going to be like. We haven't seen any brown parents, so Sienna is probably
not. We haven't seen all the parents,
hometown.
Though. We haven't seen all the parents.
Cien's not going to hometowns. We just need to move
Who
on
Who do you
from
think
that.
Is going to hometowns?
I think...
The four you just listed?
Yeah. I do.
Interesting.
Lauren B. Old Becca. Tia. Jacqueline. Maybe Kendall. So Jacqueline and Kendall could swap.
I think we both agree. No, I think Kendall has no chance. I think Kendall has no chance, and I think Lauren B has no chance either.
You think baby Becca is gonna bring him home?
No, I think it's between baby Becca and Tia, really, for that last spot.
It's definitely Tia. Because, I mean, some drama happens with baby Becca where she's crying, the people are crying, and there is nobody that he would cry over that isn't among this group. Like, he wouldn't cry over Kendall. He would cry over Tia. He would cry over Lauren B. and old Becca. I don't think he would cry over
Jacqueline.
How could
you cry over Lauren B.? She's already dead.
Don't cry for me. I'm already dead.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yes. I don't think Jacqueline would, he would cry over her. He would cry over baby Becca, though.
Okay.
So I think baby Becca gets the beaut.
It seems pretty unanimous that the portly, balder gentleman who shows up on the show is Tia's. He seems like he comes from the type to be Tia's.
He's a bit of a big daddy, if you will.
He seems like he comes from the woods.
A man of the woods? Don't bring it up, guys.
Not like he lives outside.
Among?
He would prefer it that way.
The bush?
Yes. That seems like it's Tia's guy, right?
A bushman?
It has to be.
A bushman.
Yes, a bushman.
Bushman.
Yeah, I think so.
I like that as a last name, Bushman.
Great.
Okay, sorry.
That is here and there.
Bushman.
anything else? Boldly predicting?
I mean, those are my bold predictions. I mean, one of the guys is going to come back, blah, blah, blah. Somebody's crying, clearly.
But when does the guy come back?
He comes back, I think, like the final episode. Like, he figures out where they're at.
So they're in Tuscany, and they go from 7 to 4.
Correct.
Then they come back to the U.S., and the four girls all go to their hometowns, and then Ari visits them all.
Correct.
And then they all go to Ari's hometown.
No, they do not go to Arizona.
Isn't that where the three go? Like, when it goes from 4 to 3?
Uh-uh. 4 to 3, they go to another exotic location, and then they have sex. Then.
Oh, is it 2?
And then after they have sex, they go to 2, and then at the 2 date is where they go for the final sort of thing. Sometimes the fantasy suite location and the 2 and the finale location are the same.
But they don't go back to the mansion.
They do not.
So how does the Bushman find them?
The Bushman is Tia's father, but... You're talking about the boyfriend.
Yeah, the boyfriend. He must come visit them at their hometown.
Honey, this is a television show. You know how the boyfriend found them? Somebody called him and said, get your butt up here because your girl's getting ready to get proposed to.
I'm not talking about how. I mean, where does he approach them? At somebody's house, then.
I think he approaches them at the hotel villa where they're staying for the finale.
Oh.
He finds the location.
It doesn't add up.
I know it doesn't. It's TV math.
What if he's the one who killed Lauren B?
Oh.
Somebody killed Lauren B.
I think it was Kendall. And I think CN, you know, said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And she did.
Kendall killed her just to stuff her?
Yeah. It's the most dangerous game.
I think there's like a nugget of just like good person truth in there. And just no bit of interacting with humanity to, like, develop interpersonal skills.
Definitely 70-30.
Yeah. She's fine, but very weird.
Yeah.
And also, one of her eyes is looking at a different place than the other.
Aww, she can't help that.
She's looking in 2 places at once.
Yeah, which way is she looking?
I don't know.
Thanks, you guys, for joining us. We will see you next week. Bye!
I feel like I'm the last one of my friends to really take that step.
I did fall in love.
It's been a little surreal because I didn't know how this would turn out. I was a little skeptical. I
really had strong feelings for more than one person. It is funny that nickname is hilarious.